this and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Hudson Valley Honor Flight, the 8th annual Lunch of Honor. I'm your host, Joe Arcino. We are produced by Shar Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorda Therapeutics. It is my great honor to have with us for our first guest today, we have Joseph James Romano. I say all the time, it is always such a great honor when we're able to have World War II vets on this program. And Joseph, couldn't be more honored to have you with us. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
And thank you, Joseph. Nice being here. Nice meeting Matt and Jim.
And it's funny, you know, it's always good to meet another Joe, let alone a World War II veteran like yourself. Joe, tell us a little bit about yourself and your story and of service.
Well, I was 17 years old, finished high school, and enlisted into the Navy. From there, I went over and got bought the Leary DD-879, a tin can. I picked it up, I picked it up in Guam. That's where I picked the ship up, and that was my ship for the next 2 years. After that, I went forward from the Pacific Coast to the Atlantic Coast, and I stayed there. Then I came out and re-enlisted again, and put my 26 and a half years in the Navy.
Your story of service really is a long period. When you reflect and you look back, what would you say are some of the most important lessons that you learned during your time in the Navy, and certainly during one of the most trying conflicts in our country's history?
Just getting to see that everybody was cared for, not losing anybody, and so forth on that. Otherwise, it was a great life. I enjoyed my life as a Navy veteran. I enjoyed it all over the world as much as I went to. And I thank God that I made it home safely to my family, my mother, and my 4 siblings.
Well, we thank God that you're able to be here with us today, too, and being able to talk with us. It really is always a great honor to meet you and to be chatting with you today. Joseph, talk to us a little bit about what it was like when you returned from your long story of service. We have a lot of veterans who listen to the program who always like to hear, I think, your adjustment back into the civilian life, because for so many veterans, as I'm sure you know, it's not always easy to make that transition out of the military back into civilian life. What was it like for you?
Well, I had very good siblings that helped me come back to that time. It made a big deal. And what it was about is getting back to know your family again. And then it helped by seeing other veterans in the neighborhood that you came from. That was a big part of it.
Well, there's certainly a lot of veterans in this room today. Once again, like I said, we're here at the Hudson Valley Honor Flight, the 8th annual Lunch of Honor. Joseph, have you been coming to a part of this event for a while now, or is this your first time?
This is my second time. Second time here. I had in 2017, I made my flight with this flight going out.
What was that like?
Oh, it was outstanding. But I was stationed in Washington, D.C., and I seen a lot of the memorials that were down there. I was down there for 5 years.
Wow.
I was stationed down there.
So I'm sure that must have been such an incredible experience to be back with other veterans who served and could share a similar experience like you.
Exactly. And also, there's a difference among veterans, from Korea vets, Vietnam vets, World War II vets, and it's all together. They have different tales to tell, different things to
absolutely
see how you. I know a party that he met his brother over in Germany.
Wow, that's a heck of a story.
That was so funny. There was something very close to me. Is on this honor flight. I made the honor flight, and I got, I give you letters when you're coming home. Letters from school children that wrote this thing. And the first time it said, Joseph Romano, you got mail. And I said, my family didn't write to me, they didn't write to the honor flight. But where did I get this mail? And when I opened this up, okay, thank you.
There you go. Now we can hear you even better.
Right. And while I opened it up, the first letter I opened it up was from a young lady. I believe she was 12 years old. She says, I opened it up and it says, you are my hero. You are my hero. This is what she said. Well, Joseph, you cannot believe I just broke up. I could not control myself. One of the nurses, Marianne, had to restrain me. That's how it was so that I seen this thing.
Well, look, you are a hero. Everyone who served in the Second World War, you guys are a special group of heroes. And it really means so much that a young kid like that took the time to do that, because I think it's so important for our younger generation to understand the sacrifice that so many people such as yourself gave for our country. What would you say to a young person listening today? I'm sure they're so thankful of your service, but what would you tell them about that time and what you think they need to understand about what it was like to serve during that period?
Do it for honor, glory, and truth for yourself as an individual to see what military life is about, and seeing other people, other gentlemen, young men like myself, seeing how this world is, and all over the world.
You certainly have been all over the world from then. Where is there any place in particular that really, to this day, you still think about?
I liked every place I've been in. I'm a different type of person. I'd like something new to see. There's always something over that horizon to see, to pick and put in your mind and keep it there, so when you get old, you got something to fall back on.
Absolutely.
Understood. Because you can lose your loved ones, your wife, your mother, your father, your siblings. But with memories like that, you can go on a long time.
I think that's very powerful.
And being 91 years old at this young age, I thought it was a great experience. One more thing, Joseph.
Absolutely.
I'd like to think is that when we came back off that flight that night, we're coming through the gate, and this little, I say, 6-year-old or 8-year-old, so she turned around to her mother, and she said, you think I can touch him? Well, I lost completely. I just lost it all. I just lost all. I couldn't control myself. That was two experiences in one day.
Let me tell you, that is fantastic to hear, because, again, I've heard from some veterans who said, you know, it's disappointing sometimes because they felt like the younger generation didn't understand sometimes the sacrifices because they hadn't been taught in the schools or whether it was other things. But it sounds like from your experiences, you've encountered some great kids who really understand what it's all about. God bless you for it, my friend. It really has been an honor to meet you. We're honored just to be able to hear and talk with you, hear some about your story. You're a special guy, and we really appreciate your time today.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Joseph.
You got it, my friend. Everyone, I am Joe Arcina. You just listened to Joseph James Romano. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio.
Powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative.
And made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Hudson Valley Honor Flight 8th Annual Lunch of Honor. I am your host, Joe Arcino. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorda Therapeutics. We are continuing. There are so many incredible people in this building today. And our next guest, we have Angelo Liamar. Angelo, we really appreciate the time today. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
You, I said right away, you know, you've already got the voice for radio, you've got the energy for radio, so you're ready to roll.
Yes.
First, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your service.
Well, I really originally mentioned the fact that I'm not a hero, and everybody says I am, but I don't think so.
You are, but we understand the way you feel.
All right, but of course, I'm just 91 now. And I went into service when I was 18 years old. I'm walking down to the service to report for my first day in military, and the bomb was dropped in Japan. And as I walked there, they said, "Okay, you go home, come back 5 days from now." And then from that time, my military time went on. However. And an interesting part, even though sometimes I didn't see any combat at all, but at the time that I went in, we were going to fight the Russians.
Oh boy!
This was a time really was a serious thing, because Patton, you know the story about Patton.
Oh yeah, right? Absolutely.
Well, the Russians were terrible. They were ready to fight us, and I remember saying, "Gee, if we're going to fight the Russians, we better do it now because I'm in uniform and." I don't want to become a civilian and then have to go fight the Russians. But that's how bad it was at the time.
Wow. And I'm sure, you know, that for somebody like you who's young, you know, you just finished the war and then you've got another enemy who's as strong as the last one you just beat.
Right.
That had to be a pretty tough situation there. But you did tell us a little bit about, not only have you been in one of the branches, you've kind of had your feet in a lot of different scenarios. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yes. When at 17, I joined the Air Force as a cadet, they call it reserve. And however, when the war ended in Europe, because Japanese war was still running, ended in the war, they put me in the infantry. And in the infantry, I did all kinds of things. I was in medics. I was in the radio stuff. I was in the, you name it, I did it in 2 years. All those things.
Wow.
I went from one part of the United States to the other. I had a chance to go to Europe, which I missed because that was the time that we were army of occupation in Europe. And the buddies that went to Europe and I stayed in the States had a ball because everything was cheap in Germany and the other places. And some of them re-upped for 5 years after that.
Wow.
Because they enjoyed this so much time in Germany and Europe. But now I look back, I said, I should have gone. But then I got another chance. War Korea fell in. And I laugh at this because I went back. I says, I want to join the Air Force. And they said, well, you're an air cadet, you're in. He says, we give you 2 weeks to cool down. If you want to continue with us, in 2 weeks, the enrollment will be final. So in the 2 weeks, I looked up and different radio or not radio, Air Force places. Oh, no, commercial. A pilot, I want them to be fly planes. So I said, well, I want to get the learning from flying bombers in Korea. Anyway, So they told me, so I called the different, am I going fine?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely, you're doing terrific. Like I said, you've got a good command, good poise. Don't stop, my friend.
Okay. So then I went to a number of commercial airlines, and they told me, oh, we have so many World War II pilots here. It'll be a long time before we call you. I said, okay. So I went back to the Air Force. I said, I think I won't continue. 6 months later, they were raising, they wanted all kinds of pilots, commercial pilots, because the World War II pilots were getting old. You know, you got to fly when you're about 25.
Absolutely. It's very demanding, right? It's from everything you read and you hear, it really takes a toll on your body.
Yes. So anyway, so what happened? A few months later, I found out the commercial airlines were demanding pilots. I said, oh, God, I said, I missed it. I wanted to go in. And so for years, I was complaining that I didn't get the Air Force training and that I would have done this and done that because I wanted to be a commercial pilot. And so the guy standing and listened to me bellyaching about that I didn't get into Korea. He said to me, and he said, did it ever occur to you that you might have been shot down over Korea? It never dawned on me. Absolutely never. I haven't complained since.
Oh, boy. Well, it's amazing how many different things you did and how many different areas you were trained in.
Yes.
What would you say to the young people today listening, you know, how important it was back then? What do you think they need to know about what it was like? I mean, because you really had your hands in the Korean conflict, the World War II conflict toward the end. What would you tell the younger people that they need to know today?
Well, I think young people, what I see today is that they lack their own self-drive, you know what I mean? They need a lot of pushing, and they don't seem to make a decision. They want to comply to their peers. I think one of the things that I realized of my generation, we were people who were never given anything, everything, because I went through the Depression also. And we were people that had to work for everything. There was no entitlement. So we learned to be self-sufficient. And I think that's one of the little things. Of course, there's also always exceptional young people. But most of them, they tend to have a lot of peer pressure to do things. But I think they should learn to be independent, to make their own decisions. And not that the peers are not important in development, is that we have to be centered in ourselves.
True words of wisdom. I think that would go a long way for anyone who would apply it, because you certainly lived it, and you came from a generation who went above and beyond. And like you said, I think you defined it very well. You had to work for everything that you got in life.
No entitlements. Not, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying.
Absolutely
that,
not.
That I think that it takes a little courage. When I look at my own parents and other people of my parents' generation, they were marvelous, brave people. They were brave people. Many of them came in ships, and I look at them with amazement, what they did. Today, I don't want to cross the street unless I have an assurance to get there.
Do you have other family members or sir too, or were you one of the first members in your family who entered the service?
Oh, no, we had big family here. We had many Marines, maybe many Naval men, and one of my uncles fought in World War I.
Wow.
In the Canadian Army.
We're in the Canadian, interesting, wow.
The Canadian Army, and he married into a Canadian family. And I go back to the American Tories. They were the ones that escaped the Revolutionary War and ran to, he's what they call my cousins, Canadian cousins. They made a play about that.
Incredible. I mean, that's a great family history you have there. You could just see how many different, how connected you've been to the world, to this country. But Angelo, we really appreciate your time today.
Okay.
Your wisdom, your story, it always means so much to us to be able to share this with other people. I know you want to get out there and grab a bite to eat. Looks like the food out there is absolutely delicious. So we're going to let you run. But let me ask that for the final question then. This is obviously the 8th annual Honor Flight Lunch. From the sounds of you've been a part of this before, what What does it mean to you to be back here? What's it like to attend this event?
It's a wonderful thing. I really appreciate it. And I've made many friends here, you know, from the local. And it's an amazing thing. I recall when I left the service, I went home alone. Everybody looked at me, "Where were you, fella?" But that wasn't the thing that always happened to many, many World War II veterans. After the first impact of the war being over in Europe, most guys came home and nobody knew they were there. Now I hear, "Thank you for your service," and that it's really, really a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, we're very glad to hear that because, you know, I think we can never show our appreciation enough for people such as yourself who did so much for our country. And we're just glad to be able to be here and share your story with other people. I know they appreciate it as much as we do. But, Angela, it was a true honor to meet you, my friend. You go out there and have some fun. maybe one of these days we'll be able to get you back on the program. But, really, you did a great job today with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Everyone, you're listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Give your home or office a facelift. You want to relax outside with a nice glass of wine, but you need to paint the house. You want to hit the links for a round of golf, but you need to paint the house. You both are ready for your vacation, but who will paint the house? Facelifts will. It's time to give your home a new look. They are the professionals to call when your home or business is in need of a paint job. Facelift staffs only highly trained interior and exterior painting specialists. Just select the color you want or use their trained color specialist and let them do the rest. Any size house, indoors or outdoors, they get the job done quickly, professionally, at your convenience and to your satisfaction. Plus, they offer repair work, power washing, carpentry, and generator installation for your home or office. Is your home in need of a facelift? Get to do all the things you want to do by letting Facelifts paint and remodel your home. Easy to deal with, easy to get in touch with. Licensed and fully insured. Call 914-806-8627 or visit faceliftspainting.com.
Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from the Hudson Valley Honor Flight, the 8th annual Lunch of Honor. I am your host, Joe Arcino. We are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Accorda Therapeutics. Our final guest today, it is an honor to have with us Dan Clarino. It's been all Italian so far today, Dan. I'm an Arcino. You're a Clarino.
It's a great show that way.
Yeah. It always is pretty cool. But Dan, you and I were just talking off the air. This is a really special event. But first, let me say, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being a part of the show today.
I appreciate that. Thanks for asking me.
Of course. Now, Dan, we always like to start, give the audience a little bit of an introduction. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your service?
Okay. I'm Dan Clarino. I'm local to this area. I live in Cornwall on Hudson now. But as a 19-year-old individual, I joined the Marine Corps in 1966 and served a period of time in Vietnam, close to the DMZ. I wound up during that tour getting two Purple Hearts and. So I was in the midst of a lot of difficult times back then. It was an interesting time because of the attitude about the war.
Absolutely.
And it was difficult for some of the veterans coming back during that era because we weren't very much welcome coming back.
Yes.
And I think the country is trying to make amends for that, but I know that when we were coming back, we were told not to wear our uniforms in the airports and something along that line. And the unfortunate thing is many people in the country blame the warrior for the war. And if you look back, the government will tell you that about 70% of all of the combatants or all of the people that served back then were volunteers. That's a bit of a misnomer, because there was an active draft back then. So many people joined, so technically they were volunteers, but if there wasn't the specter of the draft, many of them would have not. I joined in in 65 and was in Vietnam in 66. There were six other fellas from my high school class all joined the Marine Corps at the same time.
Wow.
All of us were volunteers. The Marine Corps didn't draft back in those days, so technically we were volunteers, but I don't know if we all would have been volunteers if we weren't facing the fact we might have been drafted into the Army or another branch of the service. So it was a much different time at that point.
Well, look, you guys are the greatest generation in your own right, and yeah. I do think that it's right. And like you said, you know, I've had the honor of interviewing many Vietnam vets, and I always am told to say welcome back because I agree because it's such a tragedy that you guys got that people blame the war on the warrior, like you said. And I think today, thankfully, with programs like this, we're trying to do our best to make sure you guys get the proper honor that you deserve. And that's why it's always such an honor to talk to somebody like you. What would you say? You know, you were a young guy back then, but two Purple Hearts, you were in the thick of things. Mm-hmm. What would you say is one of the biggest lessons that you learned in the thick of it?
Well, certainly the easy answer is to learn to appreciate what you have and appreciate life. I had suffered two wounds. One was a scrap metal wound between my eyes. It looked a lot worse than it actually was, but it was a wound in combat. About 6 weeks after that, however, I was a target of opportunity for a sniper.
Oh boy!
And this time he hit me pretty good, hit me just in the abdomen, and the bullet actually went right through me.
Oh my God!
So I am very fortunate to be here with you guys today.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to be here with
anybody today, because the exit wound was right on the base of my spine, and there, but the grace of God, I would have either.
Do you remember what happened after that, or was it just kind of all about?
No, I remember pretty clearly. The bullet. I was actually with another Marine. We were guarding a road. They had brought us down from the DMZ to the Da Nang area because we had taken so many casualties up by the DMZ. They wanted to bring us down for what they thought would be a little lighter duty. And our job that day was to go out with the troops and then jump off on the side of the road every X amount of yards and sit there all day to make sure that the VC or the NVA didn't come in and mine the road so when the troops came back in, they would be in harm's way. We were there all day, and when it was time to go back, when the troops were coming back, I put the radio back on my back, and just as I did, I got hit. A pretty vivid memory. It didn't knock me down because it didn't hit any bone. The other fellow that I was with pulled me down and then got me out of there as quickly as they could and got me to a field hospital. And I have to say this, you know, if you watch over the years TV shows like MASH and all of that, it's pretty realistic other than the comedy part
of
it. But I mean, when any of us are planning on some kind of surgery, it's, you know, you have weeks in advance to have preparation and all of that. But when you're wounded in combat, these doctors see you as they roll you in. And they used to say that if you survived that circumstance to get to the operating table, you had a pretty good chance of surviving. So, I mean, these doctors were fantastic because, they had no prep time. They rolled you in and then did what they had.
It's fascinating insight, so we really appreciate you giving us the stories. I know you want to get back in there, so before we end, I want to ask you about the honor flight. Obviously, you were talking to me before, and you were saying how it means so much, not just you as a veteran, but being able to be with those other guys.
It's fantastic. When these guys come back and say, this was the greatest day of my life, of course, they're pretty, you know, that's just at the end of that day. And if they reflected on it, it wasn't the greatest day of their life. I mean, they were married and had
children. Absolutely. Weddings,
but
stuff
for
like
that trip, it was a terrific opportunity. And they felt that way. It was the greatest day of their life because the way they're treated from being picked up in the morning and taken through that whole process of flying out and being greeted down at Reagan International and the way those folks greet them and celebrate them and thank them for their service, It's an amazing trip, and I was able to be a guardian on four of the flights, and I would do it many times more if I could, because it's so rewarding just to be there and be supportive of these individuals. It's amazing too, because particularly the World War II generation, you can't help them. You try to help them up a curve, they don't want to be helped. They are so independent. They would try to help you if they could. But you have to remember the World War II veterans, the ones that we honor now, had to be the 16 and 17-year-old guys back then, because if you're much older than that, I mean, the war's been over 72 years. So, I mean, these guys, and there's a lot of them in the other room, some of them have to be very close to 100 years old.
Yeah.
Certainly well into the 90s.
Two of the World War II vets we've had on before you were both 17 when they entered the service, so it's exactly like you said.
They would have had to be, because anybody much older than that is just unfortunately not around with any longer. So.
This is a room full of a lot of special people. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you
for giving us some of your time today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. Everyone, you were just listening to some incredible people today. We just had Dan Clarino on, and we had just a list of great people. That is going to do it for this episode. We want to thank Gail Goodson for helping make this possible. We will be back, everyone. See you next time.
Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Peak and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.